Did it work? Try again. Good morning, everybody. Good to come together and to worship. And we're going to have one last look at, John 17, and just think about what we've learnt from praying like Jesus. I want to draw together my reflections, and obviously I've had a few more weeks on top, so that we can be encouraged individually and together as one, as God's body. And then before we journey to Holy Week and to our Lord's Passion. So as we come to worship, let us worship God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. We are new creations. The old has gone, the new has come. Let us worship God as Christ's ambassadors. Through us and through our worship, may we announce the good news to all. Let us worship God in spirit and truth. Praise God, we are reconciled, redeemed, renewed. Amen. So let's join together and sing number 366. Jesus is King. And we will extol him. And extol means to praise enthusiastically. Okay, hint, hint. Praise enthusiastically. We're here to glorify God. Let's join together. Well done. Let's continue our worship as we come together in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to praise you enthusiastically. We thank you for this new day. Lord, may we never take each day for granted. We praise you and thank you for your faithfulness to each one of us, that you walk with us in everything that we do. Come to you in prayer. Your Son Jesus and your Holy Spirit is praying alongside us and for us, even giving us the words when we don't know what to pray for ourselves. We thank you that we can come to learn more about you. But Lord, that we can see you in the week, in the beauty of your creation, as we read your holy word, as we sing your praises, as we come to you in times of silence and prayer. Lord, may we continue to want to make time to be with you so that we can grow in our relationship with you. As we approach Holy Week, Lord, we again focus our thoughts on your Son, Jesus Christ, the love, Lord, with which you sent him to die for each one of us, and the fact that we can now live forever with him when we put our faith in him. Lord, we know there are times when we don't listen to you. Lord, it's hard enough to listen to each other sometimes. But Lord, may we make time to be with you. May we want to listen to you, to hear you. Lord, in the times that we have difficulties, when there are people that we perhaps don't get on with, when there's people that we struggle to love, Lord, because they're different from us, or they say different things to us, we don't always agree with them. Lord, help us to be filled with your grace, to understand one another as people created by your almighty hand, that we're being transformed into your image. Lord, may our words be your words. May our actions be yours. Lord, we have so much to pray for, and Lord, when we see things and hear things, our hearts are just heavy with being overwhelmed with what we're seeing in front of us. And so, Lord, we've been asked this morning by Christian Aid to join together with churches and Christians from across the UK to pray together in an act of witness. And so, Lord, I pray the prayer for Passion Sunday. God of all people and nations, who created all things alive and breathing, united and whole, show us the way of peace that is your overwhelming presence. We hold before you the peoples of Ukraine and Russia, every child and every adult. We long for the time when weapons of war are beaten into plowshares, when nations no longer lift up sword against nation. We cry out to you for peace. Protect those who only desire and deserve to live in security and safety. Comfort those who fear for their lives and the lives of their loved ones. Be with those who are bereaved. Change the hearts of those set on violence and aggression. And fill leaders with the wisdom that leads to peace. Kindle again in us a love for our neighbour and a passion for justice to prevail, and a renewed recognition that we all play a part in peace. Creator of all, hear our prayer and bring us peace. Make us whole. We ask our prayers in your most holy name. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So let's pray for our young people. Ellen, are you coming back in for communion? Okay, shall we just holler up the stairs? Okay. First of all, on behalf of everybody, I want to thank you for the beautiful service that you did last week. I hear that it went really well. You all did really well. We love the tree. I think that's got to be a fixture, especially the bling. So well done. Thank you all. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that we are your family. that we come together to worship, we come together to share each other's needs, and we can pray for one another. Lord, I bless you for our young people. Thank you for them and their enthusiasm for coming to know more about you. Lord, fill their hearts with more of your love, with more of your wisdom. Lord, may they be the peacemakers. I pray for the leaders, Lord, that they would use your words, that they would know your leading. Bless them all now, Lord, as they go out. Amen. Have fun. So this morning we're going to look at John 17 in its entirety, the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Thank you, Pauline. Do you want to tell them what page it's on? I've forgotten what page it's on.
Oh, I don't
That's okay. Got it. Hang on. That's right. My bad. Which is on page 1085.
I'm reading in the Living Bible, which is slightly different, but it's very much the prayer of Jesus. After saying these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way you have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me. So they bring me glory. Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scripture foretold. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one just as we are one. I am in them, you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Thanks be to God.
Just wonderful to hear it, isn't it, in its entirety, as we've been looking at it over the last few weeks. Jesus praying for himself, praying for the disciples, that they would get through what was going to happen next, and for us, the disciples that followed on. And I've had a couple of weeks to reflect on what it means to us and to apply it, not only to my life, but to share some of my thoughts with you. But first of all, we'll sing number 626. Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Let's pray. Father God, we've heard the words of your Son praying directly to you for himself, for his disciples, and for us. May this prayer of Jesus build us up in our faith, root us deeply in his love, and help us to share that love with others. As we hear your words to us now, Lord, open our hearts, open our ears. May we hear your voice now. Amen. I often say it's a privilege of my role to be able to spend as long as I want, really, in God's word, studying and reflecting. And as I've been thinking about the real, as I call it, the real Lord's Prayer over these last weeks, I've both been comforted by it, but also challenged by it. It's humbling, isn't it, to comprehend that our Lord Jesus is praying, interceding, mediating for each one of us right now. And I'm sure you'd agree with me, boy, do we need those prayers. I always see this prayer as a real mountaintop experience. And when we think when Jesus prayed it, he just left the upper room, he's heading towards Gethsemane. He stopped somewhere, we think, around the temple to pray with his disciples so that they can hear him. We discussed at our Lent study on Friday that we often struggle blindly in the valley of suffering and despair. And as we look at this prayer, it brings joy, hope, and reassurance, both from knowing that we are invited into the unity of love that is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, yet also the unity of the body, Christ's church, each one of us, one with another, in unity. In that we have the honour of being able to share, to support and to encourage one another as we journey on towards eternity. I was wondering, and you know that when I wonder and when I think, that's often dangerous. But had Jesus prayed this prayer today, and his disciple John had shared it on various social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, I think it's too many words for Twitter, would it have gone viral? So this is the way my brain works. Some of you are looking at me going, what is she talking about? Others understand. I wonder how many likes Jesus would have got for his prayer. Because social media and around us are all full of telling us words of wisdom. Sometimes they're not so much words of wisdom as you shall do this. But in some ways, and praise God, it did go viral. It's included in God's holy word. And there's an estimated 2.6 billion Christians worldwide who should read it and share it and seek to achieve what Jesus intended, because it's full of unity and love, things that the world desperately needs at this time. As I seek to apply how Jesus prayed into my own prayer life, I do so expectantly, that I may be focused, my intentions united with my Father God, and that my motives improved as I'm drawn into the circle of love, which is the Trinity. These words, prayed just before our Lord's passion, his arrest, trial, and suffering, offer us an opportunity, a look at the conversation between Jesus and his Father and the Trinity. It's an insight into Jesus' prayer life. And to repeat what I said about a month ago, if Jesus needed to pray, how much more do we? So again, let's step into the disciples' sandals and consider what our Lord is saying to us individually and corporately as we seek to be his people and his church, unified in the one purpose that the world would know him. Like Jesus, the commitment to glorify God should be the very heartbeat of all our praying. It aligns us fully with God and gives us purposes way beyond self, that everything that God created and does is to bring glory back to him. Again, that's countercultural, because culture will tell you that everything we do should be for us, and we should get the best out of everything for ourselves. but an attitude of gratitude, of thankfulness for all that our Father has created and done for us should fill us with such joy that we just can't help ourselves but to burst into spontaneous praise to Him. Do you feel like a pop bottle sometimes, that when you shake it, you just want to explode into praise? You're just thinking of yourselves now as a pop bottle, I can see you. Real joy is found not in living for self, as the world claims, but in living for the glory of God. That's what we're created for. In the ordinary and the extraordinary. Verses in 1 Corinthians, it starts off, and he is talking about issues within the Corinthian church, but it says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. But I like it better in the Message, because as you know, he puts it a lot more direct. As a matter of fact, do everything that way, heartily and freely, to God's glory. Don't hear that often, do you? Heartily. Do we really seek God's glory when we pray? What are our real motives for praying? When our hearts are aligned, united with God through His Spirit, we will know His grace in our prayers, and they will bring glory to God. His ways are so much higher than our ways. So let's see things His way. Jesus lived to glorify, to praise and honour His Father, being fully committed to Him and submitting to His will. Praying honestly and sincerely, both in His strengths and, as we'll go on to see in Gethsemane, in His weaknesses. What an example and an encouragement to each one of us. Do we pray and live so that people will see the importance of God? The sole purpose of our lives is to live in such a way that God is made known. We answer Jesus' prayer by extending the influence of God into the world, both in our strengths and weaknesses, in our joys and pains. Every prayer that Jesus made reflected that same determination to finish His Father's work. Even when He agonized in His prayer in Gethsemane. So may our prayers reflect a similar determination. Because God has a great work to accomplish in this world, in the here and now. And He wants to do it through us and through our prayers. Jesus addressed God as Abba, the intimate word for Father. And we too enjoy that intimacy as we pray, our Father who art in heaven. We enjoy that close communion that Jesus had, because that's why He taught His disciples, and then by default us, to pray in that way. He wants us to come to Him often with childlike faith, to express our full trust and confidence in Him. Not when we feel like it, or when we've tried to do everything in our own strength, but save ourselves the problem and start with Him. Knowing that He is already and always ready to receive us. It's amazing to reflect on one prayer spoken by our Lord that created a growing movement that eventually brought people from every race, language, and nationality together into one through a common faith and a common goal. How special does it make us feel to believe that our Lord Jesus prays for us? How amazing, how reassuring. We're reminded in Hebrews, therefore He is able once and forever to save those who come to God through Him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. The author of Hebrews understands that Jesus is eternally available to mediate for us and to offer us forgiveness, even right now, since his priesthood is unending. What humankind cannot achieve, Christ's finished work on the cross has already done. It's important that we comprehend that in our daily lives and trust in the effectiveness of his prayers as we follow him. Christ made a point of reminding his disciples in his prayer that he chose them. They didn't come to follow him by their own inspiration. He says those given to Christ are given by God and they are his. Jesus is fully aware concerning the weaknesses of his disciples in the face of the evil and suffering that they would encounter in the world, because they were going to be without him. It would become vulnerable and their faith would be tested to its limits. And that extends to us as well. Some would say it's never been harder to be a Christian than it is today. I suspect people that have followed in the past would probably argue it was just as tough in their time. They were fallible, like us, but their trusting commitment to Jesus meant that they were sincerely, truly following God. Are we? They held sincere, genuine faith in him and his message. Do we? It's always been the one and only requirement to be a true believer. Perfection is not required, thank goodness. Only humble, submissive faith. So he prayed for their protection and preservation. Their worship became witnesses and they were equipped to serve. The good news spread. And as I've been saying over these last few weeks, despite the devastation that we see on our news channels, there is good news happening in our world. There's good news happening in the midst of that devastation through the kindness of people extending hope and sharing. The good news continues to spread and to bring salvation, rescuing souls every day, because Jesus is intently praying for all his people. Nothing stops the light growing in the darkness. We were thinking again on Friday that shadows only exist where the light is. When everything is completely dark, we can't see anything. And so we think of when the light of Jesus shines, that there is a shadow cast and that darkness will never overcome us. And so we ask for God's grace to see that, whatever we are going through. May we be comforted and strengthened by his grace. And in the same way, Jesus prays for us that the word of God would be infused in us to work powerfully in our lives to keep us faithful. Being set apart for God's mission, our lives are changed from within. And he prays for that inward work of his word in our lives. And so he prays for us, for our unity. And I just want to remind us of the words of Amy Boucher Pye when she explains that the union that Jesus has with the Father, which now extends to his followers, is summed up in the words, I in them and you in me. Because God the Father and Jesus the Son welcome us into their circle of love via the work of the Holy Spirit who was given at Pentecost. We dwell with God and Jesus dwells with us. I asked the question, if you remember, how does it feel to when someone prays out loud for you? If you remember, and a few of the responses that came back were grateful, humbled, comforted, sometimes a little bit awkward, but that somebody really cares. And so how wonderful and humbling it is that the Father and the Son spend their time discussing each one of us. Don't know if I always want him to be discussing me sometimes. That's that little bit awkward, isn't it, when you know you perhaps shouldn't have said or done something, or you should have said and done something and you didn't. But it is also reassuring that they are praying for us individually and for us as the community of faith here in the midst of our community. Jesus asked for unity and love between those given to him and the Father, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Nothing less than the reconciliation of all things in his focus and mission, and should be our passion too. Such believing leads to life in abundance through and for him. We dwell with God and Jesus dwells with us, and that changes everything. Through his indwelling, God shares his love with us. He comforts us. He encourages us. He brings people to mind that we can pray for and serve. He inspires us with his word and convicts us of our sin. And as we see in Jesus' prayer, it's through the indwelling Christ that we are of unity with other Christians. Christ in us breaks down barriers and forms deep connections between people, a unity that speaks louder to the world than any simple words. How awesome it is to know that through Christ's prayer, that we can now enjoy that same oneness. We've worked out, haven't we, over the last couple of years, that we are not created for isolation. How desperate were we to get back together and to worship together? How brilliant and reassuring it is to know that through his continuing prayers for us with his Father, we are under his care, kept joyful and holy in this world. And how overwhelming is it to know that Christ's prayers for us will always be heard and answered because of the special relationship he has with God the Father. So as we join with Jesus in echoing the themes of his prayer, God himself will help us to pray it back to him for his glory. What an amazing thought. Remembering and reflecting, Jesus is praying for me and for you. Let's live our lives for him so that God may be known. To God be the glory. Amen. And that unity, that witness or authenticating kind of unity for which Jesus prays, is love for each other. And it's only by the genuine practical behaviours of love others will know that we are Jesus' disciples. And so people can tell the real thing when they see it. So what happens when believers meet together and worship together? And I just want to share the Love Wickham promotional video for the 12th of June.
Love Wickham has a vision to build unity across the churches of High Wycombe. And over the last 8 years, we've gathered over 40 churches for various events in the town centre to pray, to worship, and to celebrate the goodness and the love of God. And this year, we want to gather people around three big themes: prayer, social action, and celebration.
Firstly, we want to pray for every single street in the Wycombe area, that God would bless the businesses, schools, hospitals and houses in these places. To help us to do this, for 5 weeks from May the 6th, Love Wycombe will be providing a web-based app that has all the streets marked on them. We will provide simple guidelines for you to help you walk your local area, bless those who live and work in each street, and simply mark on the app that you have prayed for that street. Secondly, we want to demonstrate God's love for our town through practical acts of service. Each local church will be asked to find a way of serving your local community in your own unique way. This may be simply serving cream teas or litter picking or car washing. It might be decorating a room for a struggling family or clearing a garden. Each church can decide what will work for you. Love Wickham will provide guidelines about how to do this safely and efficiently, with publicity that links all of these acts of service together. We want to encourage churches to do this throughout May and early June, leading up to our town centre celebration.
So on Sunday the 12th of June, we've booked the High Street and we're going to have a stage right here in the town centre. So we're going to gather to pray, to worship and to point people to the firm foundation that is Jesus Christ when everything else has been shaken. So join us to pray, to worship and to celebrate together as one church as we love Wickham in 2022.
Exciting, isn't it? When it says Wickham, that means us as well. We're all part of Wickham to pray together. And if anyone knows of any projects that might need doing, you've heard some ideas there, and that's something we can get involved in, then please come and speak to me. And hopefully we'll be able to worship together and to show the people of Wickham who are worshipping at the Temple of Marks and Spencer's normally on that Sunday, as they pass by, that they can come and worship too. But more information to follow probably after Easter now, but please keep that in mind and pray for it and pray for those of us that are helping to lead it. I want to pray the prayer of commitment that was in the Tear Fund Lent Studies yesterday. Some of you may have already read it. It's called Make Us One, and it was by the Reverend Dr. Lynn McCleary. Let's pray. God, you are three and you are one. Different persons in perfect unity and harmony, in essence the same. You draw us to worship you, to share your life and to show your love to others. Yet we are fragmented and need your healing and reconciling touch. Though we are many, make us one. I lay before you the fragments of myself, my mixed motives and hidden agendas, my conflicting priorities for my things, my desire to follow you and my habit of putting myself first. Though I am many, make me one. I lay before you the fragments of my local church, a family of flawed and quirky real human beings, our different gifts and our common purpose, our oneness in prayer and our quarrels about many things, our personality clashes and our love across barriers. Though we are many, make us one. Giving God, gracious Christ, reconciling Spirit, make your church integrated with you and with each other. Not to get all we can for ourselves, but to give all we can to others. Amen. So as we prepare our hearts to gather around our Lord's table, let's join together and sing 1,000, King of Kings, Majesty.
Thank you.
Lord, we remember you, the one who is holy and true, and is worthy of our worship. To God be the glory. You invite us into the unity of your love. That is the Trinity. And into the unity of your body, your church. We accept your invitation to gather once again around your table as those who love you and desire to praise and honour you with our entire being. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a deep and reflectful way of remembering and proclaiming what Christ has done. As we approach Easter, we remember your passion. In the midst of your suffering, you pause to pray for your disciples and for those of us who would follow on, inspired by their Spirit-led witness and teaching. God is gracious to those who believe in him and declare Jesus as Lord. We take in our hands the bread and the cup. In doing so, we are prompted to remember Christ's death in our place, grace in action. We remember too his life and his glorious resurrection, the promise of death defeated, eternal life with him. Let's pray. God of all hope, whose Son Jesus Christ announced the kingdom and restored the broken to wholeness of life, look with compassion on the suffering and pressures of the world, and by your healing power make whole both people and nations through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. May we make you known by our joy and praise in being one with you and with each other. We thank you, loving God, creator of all, who gives us life in abundance, who knows each one of us intimately and desires that we enjoy full unity with you and one another. You invite each one of us into relationship with you and with us as your church. We thank you. Even when we break faith, turning away again and again from relationship with you, turning away from your love freely that you pour upon us, turning away from life in you, not seeking you or accomplishing what you have called us to be and do, you call us back again and again. And so as I used the words of that beautiful hymn, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there may be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Saviour, know my thoughts, I pray. Listen, see if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. And in assurance of pardon, Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take all my will, my passion, self, and pride. I now surrender. Lord, in me abide. May your love and hope fill our hearts and fill your world. May there be an end to conflicts and selfishness. Lord, may we be the justice makers for all people, living in the love and kindness that we saw through the example of Jesus Christ. May our ears be awake to your word. May we know your Spirit blowing through our church. and through ourselves. Amen. And so I use the words from 1 Corinthians 11. I'm reading them from the Message, so they will be slightly different and very direct. Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks for it, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. "The cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink it, remember me." What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the Master. You will be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. You must never let familiarity breed contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Master irreverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spat on him at his death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that by your Holy Spirit working inside us, that we can come to this meal, knowing, Lord, that you forgive us when we come to you and seek your will. We thank you, Lord, that you made us come and gather together as your church family because, Lord, we're human. We would have forgotten so much of what you did for us. And so, Lord, we come, remembering Jesus' life, death, his glorious resurrection. We offer to you, gracious God, this bread and this cup, thankful that you have invited us into intimate, everlasting, ever-loving relationship in your presence. We ask that your Holy Spirit, already filling all things and places and people, might continue to transform us to become more like you. In this holy moment, in this bread and cup, may we be reminded that Christ is with us. Make us one in ministry to all the world. Amen. And so as you receive the bread, take it and eat it as a sign of your individual response. The body of Christ given for you. When you receive the cup, please hold on to it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ's family. The blood of Christ given for you. Let's pray. Let us remember God in our lives and in our worship and glorify him through them, trusting his great promises and bringing us to a full understanding of his word and his purposes for each one of us. Let us keep God's word in passionate patience, encouraging one another as one body. Let us hold fast to the name of Christ, be in unity, and be faithful until that day when he comes again, and every knee shall bow. Amen. So we're joined together and praise him and glorify his name as we sing number 708, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ, who prayed for your disciples that they might be one, even as you are one with the Father, draw us to yourself, that in common love and obedience to you, we may be united to one another in the fellowship of the one Spirit, that the world may believe that you are Lord. May we know that joy that Jesus prays about and respond by living like it, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Just want to be seated just briefly, a few notices. As you can tell from the new shiny diary, we've got lots of things going on in the next few weeks. So I would say keep an eye on the diary. Next Saturday is our quiet day. If you're intending to come to the quiet day, and also if you require lunch, can you let me know by today so that we can decide whether to feed you or not? And also next week we'll be putting the list out if you want an egg for Easter breakfast. That is a hen's egg and not a chocolate egg. If they're good. Did you hear that? If you're good, it could be a chocolate egg. And also for the men, men's breakfast is on at the end of the month, 30th. That's the last day. Yeah, thank you. So yes, so quiet day people, please come and see me. Get your name on the list so that you will be fed. Bless you. Have a great week.